Solo mode is the solo mode, and you're all alone in solo mode, and you miss your group, or you had some kids, but you bought some games. Why did you buy those games? It's the solo mode, it's the solo mode, and you're all alone in the solo mode, and your group is gone, or you had some kids, but you bought those games. Why did you buy those games? Sorry.
I know why you bought those games. You bought those games to distract yourself from the terrifying endless void that is your inevitable death and the inevitable death of everyone you've ever known and loved on planet Earth. Welcome to Solo Mode, Episode 8. Let's get right into it. I'm your host, Matthew Robinson. It's been a hot, sweet minute since I came at you with this Solo Mode goodness. But Thanksgiving is over. And I didn't get to play a lot of games over Thanksgiving, so I have a lot of Solo Mode thoughts for you. Matt, why didn't you get to play a lot of games over Thanksgiving? Thank you so much for asking. It's because I have small children and they make me sick constantly for the last 3 months. Every week, a new illness, a cold, a virus, RSV, maybe COVID, who knows? All of the above. Home from school. One gets better. The other one gets sick. I get sick. My wife gets sick. The other one gets worse. Another one gets sick again. We all get sick together. Thanksgiving. Hey, we'll invite everyone over. Nope, cancel your plans. Everyone's sick. That's my life right now. I'm dealing with it. It's hard. It's not necessarily a good time, but everybody's healthy today. I'm feeling good. I can talk. My voice is here, and we can talk about solo modes. I had an interesting experience a couple weeks ago. Friend of the show, co-host, Jordan, my buddy, said to me at the end of a game night, "Hey, Matt, have you heard about this new game, Earthborn Rangers?" "No, I have not," I said to Jordan. "Never heard of that one," which is odd, because I heard about all the games. All I do is hear about games and talk about games and back games on Kickstarter. Never heard of Earthborn Rangers. Somehow, flew right over my head. So I Googled Earthborn Rangers within 4 milliseconds of Jordan walking out the door, because I trust his opinion. And you know what I saw? I saw the beautiful box art, and I said, "Oh, I sort of vaguely remember that." And I didn't back it at the time, because I back too many things, and I buy too many games, and I was like, just didn't grab me right away. And boy, oh boy, did I make a mistake, because the next, well, what was this? This was maybe a month ago. No, it was more than that. It was probably 6 weeks ago. The following 6 weeks have taken me down a rabbit hole, which began with Earthborn Rangers, which took me into another game and another game. And guess what? All those games were games I already owned. It brought me back into the fold. What fold am I talking about? Talking about LCGs, living card games. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe strongly and firmly that we are experiencing an LCG renaissance. Today, right now, the year of our Lord, 2023, LCGs are back and better than ever. And I'm going to do my best on this episode to convince you that the LCGs that have been collecting dust in your shelves, or maybe at a local game store near you, are worth your attention again. So let's talk about Earthborn Rangers first. So Jordan said, "You should check it out." I did. Immediately that night, 1:30 in the morning, maybe half an edible in my system, trying to fall asleep after a game night, bought the whole thing. Post-Kickstarter, it was like a year after the Kickstarter's delivering now. Obviously, I could not kickstart it, but I did pre-order it. Hopefully, my pre-order arrives in the next week or two, which means I'm going to be spending a good amount of time today talking to you about a game that I've never played, which, if you're listening to this podcast, is probably something you've done too. We've all become obsessed with games that we don't have in our hands yet. By the time they arrive, we have completely gotten bored of the entire concept because we spent 3 months obsessing over them. I don't think that's going to happen here. I think we got a goodie here. So let me tell you what it is. What is Earthborn Rangers? Well, Earthborn Rangers is an LCG in many ways, other than in the way where they call it one. It is designed by Andrew Fisher, Brooks Flugauer-Levitt, Andrew Navarro, Adam Sadler, Brady Sadler. Andrew Navarro and Andrew Fisher are the two people I had heard of before because they used to work at FFG, a little place called Fantasy Flight Games, which you may or may not know because of all the LCGs you have collecting dust in your shelves. They are specifically, they worked a bit on, well, Andrew, hold on, let me get my information correct here. Andrew Navarro worked quite a bit on a lot of different games at Fantasy Flight Games. But mainly, I believe there was a lot of Arkham Horror. There's a lot of different games. The guy was there for a long time. He was high up in the world of it, working on a lot of different things. I believe he was one of the main people behind Keyforge in terms of its development and things like that. I'm going to just stop talking because clearly I don't know enough about Andrew Navarro. But I have listened to 40 episodes of the man's podcast about Earthborn Rangers, which we'll get into in a second. So Earthborn Rangers is, just think of it as a whole bunch of people who worked at Fantasy Flight Games, who made a lot of LCGs, who have, you know, 10, 20 years, whatever, of experience in game development, especially in the model of cooperative LCGs, and decided to make their own without the meddling fingers and mean, evil little eyes of giant Asmodee corporations behind them. They made what is very much an independently designed and funded and created and produced board game made with cards. So Earthborn Rangers, I'll just give you the basic, is a cooperative LCG. Everything we're talking about today is going to be a cooperative LCG. In fact, I'm going to call the episode the Cooperative LCG Renaissance, because it is not just an LCG Renaissance. There ain't no Netrunner coming back anytime soon. Earthborn Rangers is a cooperative LCG. Again, not literally an LCG. They're not calling it that. So what is it? So you buy basically a box, the core box, and it's going to come with an entire campaign that's going to last you over, as they call them, days, which are sort of game sessions. It's, I think, 20 days is a campaign. Think of a game session as, you know, a couple hours. There's a good amount of gameplay. We all know the drill of these sort of campaign-driven cooperative games. But this is very much in the model of Arkham Horror or Lord of the Rings or Marvel Champions in terms of its gameplay. But with a finite, limited campaign. Arkham Horror campaigns last about eight sessions, usually eight different stories, eight different chapters, what have you. This one lasts 20 or so. So it's, you know, it's like getting one huge large campaign and a whole bunch of cards that you can use to build decks, et cetera, et cetera. So cooperative game, deck building game, LCG driven concept, working together in order to get through a campaign. But what makes this one interesting than other ones is they have describe this as an open world game. Open world in the sense of Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, or even Grand Theft Auto, or the new Spider-Man games, things like that, where you are definitely have sort of an ongoing mission, but you can go off, do your own little things, do some side quests, just explore. It has that thing where you can just see something and go there and go check it out. And you do that in the game through a map. You have a large map of the world, and you decide where to go, and you just start walking off. That in and of itself is what grabbed me at first. How on God's green earth could somebody possibly make an open world card game? And the more I looked into it, the more it sort of felt like they totally did it. And it's pretty impressive. So this takes place in the future, far-flung future. The world has ended, post-apocalyptic, but nay, nay, nay. This is not dark. This is not grim, dark, end of the world, Warhammer 40K, you know, Terminator stepping on a thousand skulls beneath its feet. This is a beautiful, lush, green, dare I say, Tolkien-esque fantasy world. It's our world, but fantasy in the sense of, you know, there's some cool steampunk tech and things like that. But the world has ended and the earth has healed without us. And I believe we were in hiding for 10,000 years. I'm just making that number up. Long time. Came up into the world and the earth healed itself. Beautiful, happy, joyful. This is an optimistic game. This is a game that clearly the designers were tired of all of the dark, The Last of Us-esque apocalypse of just constant trauma and suffering and people murdering each other. And this is a world where, hey, there's a chance we could all pull this out one day. Things seem dark right now, but you know what? Some smart people got together, they figured it out, and the earth is saved. We did it. We saved the earth. We healed the earth. And now the surviving members of this utopian future have crawled out of their hobbit holes and have new adventures to be had in this futuristic world of kindness and love. And we have all learned these fabulous lessons along the way and decided to be kind to each other and not murder constantly and bomb each other to hell. And in fact, the game's ethos very much springs off of this idea of nonviolence. There is, as far as I know, there's no guns in this game. There's no murder in this game. There's no killing. You do skill checks and the like, but not to put hit points onto baddies, but to talk to them and to sway them or shoo them away carefully without violence and to be kind. And you get the picture. But that's a pretty cool thing in our world of murder hobos, as they say in D&D, and, you know, double-barreled shotguns, and I'm going to equip the ninja star and you're going to equip the Uzi and we're going to kill all the monsters. And it's going to be so sad and violent. This is clearly trying to do something that is different from that, which is a breath of fresh air, at least for me, because I like new themes, and this definitely seems like a new theme. So that's the vibe. The game is, if you know, again, if you know LCGs, if you know co-op LCGs, especially Arkham, you're picking a character, you're picking a role, you're building a deck, a 30-card deck, exactly like Arkham. It's going to have equipment in it. It's going to have, you know, events in it, one-time things that happen. It's going to have, you know, a little engine building where you're getting your person all set up so you can go do cool things. And you, and it can be played solo. It can be played solo two-handed. It can be played up to four players. We'll go on an adventure with your friends and an open-world adventure where you don't have to follow the mission. You can go off and do stuff. The game will still end after 20 days, I believe, no matter what you do, because the sessions do have a clock on them, a game clock, not a literal clock. And when those sessions end, days end, and after 20 days, I believe there you turn to the campaign guide and it will probably say the end and some nice words. Lots of replayability, obviously, as you can imagine, because of the open worldness. I'm sure no adventure will be the same. You can go down different paths. You can do cool things. So that clearly intrigued me. And that sounded really neat. If you don't know about me, I adore card games. I adore the experience of sleeving my own 30 to 60 card deck that I've probably net decked off of something on the internet, but then made my own little tweaks maybe, or maybe I'm feeling courageous and wild and I built a deck from scratch. But I just love that feeling of having my deck and it's sleeved and it's there and I've shuffled it and I know how to pilot it to a certain extent, but I'm excited to get better at piloting it. That's the phrase people often use with card games like Magic and things like that. I'm going to get good at piloting this deck. I enjoy that experience. I enjoy the experience of upgrading my deck. Arkham Horror has this really fun experience system where in between play sessions, you can spend experience points and upgrade cards. Oh, look, now I have the level 2 beat cop card. That's awesome. I'm going to be better on the next one. And they're all, you know, obviously they're going to, the missions are going to start getting harder. So I'm going to need better cards as I go. Earthborn Rangers has that too. They have a reward system where you're going to get cool things, but they have this really neat idea they've added in here where your deck starts becoming a part of the story that you told. So maybe you meet somebody on your adventure and they give you something. And now that card is in your deck and it's this really cool tool you can use. And every time that card comes up, you're going to remember that person that you met and that adventure you went through and that thing you had. And so you're not just upgrading cards with experience to get the better shotgun. You are now getting a tool from your adventure that happened during your story, like Frodo getting, you know, the file of Galadriel, et cetera, et cetera. Now that's a part of a story and that, you know, that tool is going to be useful in the future, yada, yada. So cool things like that. I just love that experience. I've always loved it. I love it in Netrunner, which was my first obsession in this hobby 15 years ago. I just love that feeling of having my deck that I plop down on the table and I'm either going to use it to kill your wizard or I'm going to use it to go on a cool adventure. And I'm always looking for that experience. Never really seem to tire of it. Marvel Champions gave me that fun feeling of being able to just play one scenario, build a deck, fight a boss, go build a different deck, go fight a different boss, do that forever. Lord of the Rings card game gave me the experience of losing constantly and feeling like the game's impossible, which is a cool also feeling sometimes maybe. And Arkham Horror gave me the really fun experience of going through a novel, basically, you know, an 8-session, 15-hour experience with one deck that gets better by the end of it. And then maybe you die in the last session, like I seem to always do. So those experiences are things I'm clearly drawn to. Earthborn Rangers being no exception. I learned about it. I read about it. I backed it that night after Jordan said to me, "Hey, Matt, have you heard of Earthborn Rangers?" I said, "No." Then, of course, what that did was made me want to play the game, but it was going to be a long time. So how did I get this game? I ordered it through Team Covenant. Team Covenant, who you may know from making awesome Netrunner tokens or tokens for all the games that you play. They make beautiful bespoke custom tokens that I have been buying for as long as I can remember in this hobby. I think I've bought pretty much every set for everything they've ever put out because they're really nice. They made a deal with Earthborn Rangers people, Earthborn Games, which is the publishing company they formed to make this game, to have the exclusive rights, I believe, to sell the game in America, domestically, if you are here in America like I am. And you can, I pre-ordered it through them. I believe it is still available today. And much like in that movie High Fidelity, where John Cusack says, "I will now sell 10 copies of the beta band," and puts on the beta band, and then everybody goes and buys it. Was it the beta band? I think it was. I will now sell 10 copies of Earthborn Rangers. If you go to teamcovenant.com right now, they are not sponsoring this in any way, shape, or form. It totally sounded like I was going into a commercial. I believe, can pre-order it still. It's supposed to be shipping really soon, like this week. I've been waiting 6 weeks. If you are listening soon after the release of this, congratulations, you have much less of a wait than me if you're going to pre-order it. So you get one campaign box with this. They also have some fun dice and tokens and things like that. I believe they're sold out. I pre-ordered some of those. They also have play mats that are sold out and all this other stuff that's sold out. But you can get the box. You can get a nice upgraded map, which, why wouldn't you? Because the map is going to be a big part of this game. And you can also get a doubler box, I guess, where it's like you're getting more copies of the cards if you're going to play with four people, so you don't have to all, you know, share the card pool. You can sort of all, I'm sure there's, you know, like in many of these games, there's some really good cards that everybody's going to want in their decks. And if you just buy one core, you're only going to have a couple copies of those. So they put out a small box, which basically, if you remember the old school way where you had to buy three copies of the core box of Arkham and Lord of the Rings and all these things, so you'd have the full set, which is always annoying. They just sell you the box with all the extra cards, so you have enough for everybody, I believe. So that was also, so I bought all that stuff. And then, of course, I wanted to play the game. Couldn't play it. It's going to be about 6 weeks. So I started thinking, man, I really miss that LCG experience. I really am missing that whole thing. So I went and sort of, you know, I have a lot of Lord of the Rings LCG. I have a lot of Arkham Horror LCG. I have a lot of Marvel Champions LCG. Marvel still gets played. Lord of the Rings was deep in my closet to the point where, like, I actually couldn't find my cards and I had to go searching for them. And Arkham Horror, I have everything they've ever printed for it up until about 3 years ago. And that also has just totally been collecting dust for at least a year or two. I just wasn't that excited about it for a long time. So I decided I was going to, while waiting for this game, dive back into that old genre that I loved so much of the co-op LCG. And I realized, damn, they made some cool ass changes to this in the last few years since I got out. It seems like the minute I got out, they changed the whole model. And the model now is so much better. So what was the model before? Model before was they would have these cycles where they would release a deluxe box for like $30 and you'd get like two or three missions. If it's Lord of the Rings, you're getting like three standalone scenarios that are sort of vaguely connected together story-wise. If it was Arkham Horror, you're buying a deluxe box and you're getting some player cards and you're getting like the first two scenarios in a campaign, which was always really annoying because it's like, how slow are we meant to play these things? Because it's still going to be a few months till the next thing comes out. And it was sort of like the way, you know, like Dickens used to release serialized novels, you know, where you just get a basically like a chunk of it, or, you know, it was sort of like the prime version of television. So that's how they used to release them. And you'd get the deluxe box, and then you'd get these little packs, these little obnoxious packs that, unless you had a subscription to Team Covenant, which has a nice subscription thing, or some other places also offer a thing where you can pay them so you don't miss these packs, you would play this fun game every month or two where you'd be chasing down packs. And Amazon would be sold out, and then, oh my God, you realized you missed one, and now they're out of print, and now the whole story sucks because you can't even finish it, and you're missing a chapter in it. And it was just a super annoying, sort of fun in the sense that, like, oh, you know, throughout the whole year, you're getting cool new releases to look forward to, but also just a little frustrating because you just sort of want the whole thing at once, especially with Arkham, which was just like you're just getting chapters of a story, and you had to wait so long to get the rest of it. That whole thing is dead. Fantasy Flight decided no more of that. So instead, now what they do, they sell you the whole cycle, split into two boxes. One box being the adventure, the mission, the campaign. The other box being player cards. Still $100 if you want them all. The price is still the same. So a cycle is still going to cost you $100. So God forbid you find out how many cycles there are in these things and realize that if you're a completionist, you're about $1,000 away from having everything you need. But you don't have to have everything you need because they have also released revised core sets for Arkham Horror and Lord of the Rings. They have not done this for Marvel because Marvel is Champions is recent enough where it would be obnoxious to revise anything at this point, but I'm sure it's coming. But they've totally just said, forget the old stuff. You can just start with the new and go from there. You don't have to collect everything. You can just start over. Think of it as a 2.0 or a 3.0 or whatever you want to call it. But they are calling it a revised core set. You now also don't have to buy multiple versions of core sets. They stopped that absolute ridiculousness where you used to have to spend $90 to get three $30 core boxes. The second core set, you're using about 30% of the cards. The third core set you bought, you're using like six cards, but you're still spending $30. It was so obnoxious, and I did it so many times like an absolute knobhead. But they said no more. So now when you buy a revised core set, you get enough copies of all the cards for at least one or two players. If you need more, whatever. Don't just shush. But you get all of them. They've got errata on them. They cleaned them up a little bit, especially with Lord of the Rings. They kind of added a little bit of a campaign in there. They balanced the card pool a little bit better with the player cards you're going to get to make it a little easier because it was so hard. And it's just an easy way to jump in. $30-$40, I think, for the core set. You don't have to buy multiples of them if you get obsessed with it. You're done. And now they started releasing cycles for both of these that is going to give you everything you need. You don't have to chase down packs. You don't have to do all this stuff. It's just, here's a box of all of the player cards. Here's a box of all of the mission cards or campaign cards or whatever it is that you're going to be going on these adventures in. And so right now there are, I'll tell you what they have for Lord of the Rings. Cause that's where I started. I went right back. I pulled out all my Lord of the Rings. I literally had to find my cards. Some of them were separated in different places. This was before I had a good way of organizing things back in the day. So that some things were just like in boxes in my closet. I found all my old cards. I realized I have quite a few cards from Lord of the Rings. So I was good to go. Didn't need much. Didn't even need to buy the revised core set. Here's a nice thing. Also, if you have the old core sets, you don't have to buy the revised ones. They're not that different. It's not, I actually didn't buy it. And I'm a psycho who likes to buy everything. Didn't buy the revised core sets for either Arkham or for Lord of the Rings because I had everything I needed in there. And there are no new cards in there except a couple little campaign cards that could sort of, you know, tease the first few missions together. But you can print those out. Fantasy Flight Games has given you a way to do that if you want to. They're not cards that go in your deck. So don't worry about them being low quality if you just print them out. So they right now have the revised core set, and then they have the Angmar Awakened cycle, and they have the Dream Chaser cycle, campaign, whatever. Again, both of those are going to have one box that's going to have the entire, I think it's eight scenarios that they have in Lord of the Rings for cycle. And then another box, which is going to be cheaper. I think that like the campaign ones are like 60, the player card ones are like 30 or something. So it's going to be $100 altogether, and you're going to buy both, but you don't have to. You could just buy the player cards if you're not interested in the campaign, or you want better cards for campaign you already have, or if you don't care about player cards and you like the small pool of cards you already have, just buy the campaign. And these that they're releasing are old cycles that already came out. They're not necessarily so far, maybe in the future, but so far they're not making new content for Lord of the Rings, but they are taking what people considered their best cycles. And these are cycles that I was way out of the game by the time they came out. So I missed them. So they're new to me. They're a little more balanced. They're a little more fun. You know, Lord of the Rings LCG was the first LCG, co-op LCG that Fantasy Flight Games did. And they've learned, obviously, a lot of lessons since then. And these campaigns that they released are basically the culmination of all the things they've learned in Lord of the Rings and all the other co-op LCGs they put out. And people consider these sort of the best. And there's still some more coming. They're going to keep reprinting them. Maybe we'll get new things in the future. But they also have the saga expansions, which are, you know, stories you know. It's the Lord of the Rings. It's the Hobbit. It's things like that. And so they've released the first two saga expansions as well, all in one big box now. Used to be split up into two deluxe boxes. Now they've just put it into one, again, making it easier. Price ain't going to be any cheaper. It's going to be the same as if you bought them back in the day. But so they have the Fellowship Saga expansion, and they just released the Two Towers. And of course, the Return of the King will be coming at some point. But they've just made it easier. They've just made it so much easier. I really enjoy Lord of the Rings as a pure solo game. It's very hard. It's definitely the hardest of all of them. But I've really enjoyed going through, you know, these great scenarios. I've not gotten to the Dream Chaser yet, but I've been playing through Angmar Awakened. And they're just so much better. The design is more fun. The player cards are feel a lot more powerful. Yes, there's probably been some power creep, but who cares? You don't have to go through all the growing pains they went through. You can just jump into the good stuff. They give you the good player cards. They give you the good missions that are really well designed and fun and balanced. And it's still absolutely the hardest of all the LCGs if you want to get into an LCG. But it is not as hard as you may remember it if 12 years ago you bought the core set and could not for the life of you beat the third mission in the core set and got a little frustrated and said, screw this game. Then I decided I wanted to get back into Arkham Horror as well. So why did I fall out of love with Arkham Horror? I really loved it at first. I found that it wasn't a great solo experience. Lord of the Rings is like a puzzle. You have to build a deck specific to the mission. It's really, a smaller experience for me. The way I played it would just pull out a mission, put a deck together. You get, you know, the Lord of the Rings, the way that LCG works is you have three heroes already in your deck. So it almost feels sometimes like you're playing with three different characters. So it sort of gives you that feeling of having three-handed the solo experience. You could play two-handed with six heroes. It's not the craziest thing in the world. But I felt like it was fun to build solo decks that were capable of handling things. I did not feel that same way about Arkham. It felt like to build a solo deck that could go through an entire Arkham mythos cycle, whatever it's called, an eight scenario storyline, it felt like I had to build a deck that wasn't fun to play. I had to build a deck that could do everything. And I didn't really enjoy that experience because it didn't really feel like the way they wanted you to play it. This game felt like it wanted you to be playing with at least two people and one person getting all the clues and one person fighting all the monsters. And yes, you could build a deck that's going to do both, but it's not going to be that fun. It's going to feel a lot harder than they probably wanted it to. And you're going to feel really limited by the characters you can play and the cards you can use. Still a cool little puzzle, but it felt more like a puzzle than what I felt like it wanted to be, which is this awesome epic adventure where you're going through this entire storyline and upgrading your deck and yada yada. So I was looking around online and people really recommend playing Arkham, if you're going to play it solo, playing it two-handed. So I pulled out one of the cycles that I had never finished before, which is the Path of Carcosa. I put together two decks that I net decked, as they call it, off of Arkham DB. What's also lovely about both of these games, Arkham and Lord of the Rings, having been around for so long now, is that there's an entire community and websites dedicated to telling you awesome decks you can build, which are a great way to learn the game until you really understand the card pool you can build for yourself. So Arkham DB, ARKHAMDB, probably.com, I think, I'm guessing. Arkham DB is the one for Arkham, and Rings DB is the one for Lord of the Rings. Great place to just net deck decks. You can put in the exact cards you own and only look at decks that have cards that you have in your card pool. So you're not constantly looking at decks for awesome deck ideas that you can't build because you don't have those cards. You can just filter it so you see the decks that you are capable of building with your card pool. So I've net decked two good beginner decks for Arkham to get back into it. And I started going through Paths of Carcosa two-handed, and it's my favorite thing in the world. I am so fully back in on Arkham. I wish I had played it two-handed solo the whole time. It's super manageable. It's super fun. I feel like I'm playing the full game of Arkham. I even started a campaign with Jordan. We were going through the Forgotten Age together. We've only gotten through the first scenario, maybe two, I can't remember. But this is a game that I really enjoy playing solo because I can play it when I want to. And I have a busy work schedule and a busy family schedule, and it's really nice to be able to leave something on my desk at work, which I'm privileged to be able to do, and just take turns in between writing sessions or on my lunch break, et cetera, et cetera. It's been thoroughly enjoyable, and I've really enjoyed the experience, and I cannot recommend Arkham enough. Now, to the point where I found myself being more excited to keep playing Arkham than I even was for Earthborn Rangers to get to my house. Which is awesome. It's so, like, there are a few experiences better for the board game collector obsessive like myself than realizing you have the exact game you want already in your house and you've forgotten about it. That's what I don't know what that is. That's a wonderful experience in the board game world, especially for solo gamers, when all of a sudden you become obsessed with a game that you already own that was collecting dust. It makes you feel good because you're reusing something that was probably building some anxiety in the back of your head for a while because it was on your shelf of shame or whatnot. And you're getting back into it. You're realizing how good it is. And I've been totally having that experience with Arkham recently. And I'm excited to go back through it. So Arkham also did this thing where they are no longer releasing just annoying little plastic packs that you have to track down on Amazon or your stores or whatnot. And they are now just doing full campaigns. But they're making new stuff. They're going back a little bit, but they're also making brand new things. And so brand new campaigns, which clearly I have not gotten to yet, but that are supposed to be absolutely fantastic. So they have a brand new one coming out, I think in January or March, something like that. It's called The Feast of Hemlock Vale. So there is new stuff coming out for this, brand new, not just repackaging like Lord of the Rings is doing, but absolutely releasing new stuff. And they're taking the cycles of the past and making them really easy to get and putting them into the exact same sort of format that they did with Lord of the Rings, which is one campaign box, one player card box. So they had the Circle Undone, which was the last cycle they did at Scarlet Keys. They've repackaged Forgotten Age, Carcosa, I believe they've done as well. They've done Dunwich Legacy, which was the first cycle available for the game. So it's an awesome time to get into the game where you don't have to be chasing down packs and you can just buy a single cycle. Think of it as like a novel or a season of a TV show or whatever that you can play through with all the player cards you need. Thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyable. So that's been my LCG renaissance that I've been personally having. And I believe it is an LCG renaissance that's taking place in the whole world, not just because of Fantasy Flight deciding to make it so much easier to get into these great games, which there's so much content already around for, but brand new entries into the space like Earthborn Rangers, which I've spent a lot of time thinking about and waiting for and have not played yet. Jordan has played a bunch. There is a YouTube Twitch channel called Optimal Play that Jordan from our podcast has been playing with a couple of his friends who I believe run that Twitch channel, YouTube channel. And they've been running through a campaign of it on there. You could watch that. There's also an Earthborn Rangers podcast, which I mentioned briefly, which is a really, really great way to get insight into the development process of a labor of love. And I will talk briefly about one of the coolest parts of the game is that this is a fully, well, I'm not going to use fully. The goal of this game is to be as sustainable and ecologically minded and green for the earth production of a board game that somebody could possibly make in this year. There is no plastic in the game. The game does not even come shrink-wrapped. It's got stickers on the side. I hear you're OCD, I know, but you can just cut the stickers. Apparently, there's nice ways to get them off so it doesn't damage the box. There's no plastic. All the pieces are wood that come inside if you get the special upgrades of the tokens and stuff. I believe they produced it in Germany, I believe, instead of China, where, you know, you would have much, much worse for the world shipping on these, you know, giant shipping containers. And they just found the way to make it as ecologically friendly as possible, which clearly is thematic as well to the game, because it's about, you know, an optimistic, happy version of the world where we did save our world from extinction and our civilization as well. But I think it's also beyond that, just an ethos of the company that they really want to inspire others and themselves to make games as sustainable as possible. I believe the box is completely biodegradable. I think you could bury it in your backyard and in time it would fully break down and be one with the earth again. The cards are not your basic, you know, triple layered plastic middle magic cards, whatever, however they're made. That's, you know, not so great for the earth. They're made in a way that I believe are also biodegradable, or at least a lot friendlier and use a lot less plastics and non-biodegradable materials. But the cards apparently still have a nice quality to them. And once you sleeve them, they feel completely normal and great. Also, they've also mentioned that they hope that people reuse sleeves they already have as opposed to buying new ones. Nobody's going to shame you if you do buy new ones. But I think a lot of us LCG players just have a ton of sleeves in games we don't play anymore. Go unsleeve those games that you haven't played in forever. Reuse those sleeves on this game. I just really appreciate a lot of the stuff they're doing here. It's rare that I become inspired by a new board game company. And, you know, instantly I'm just like, well, even if I didn't care about this game, even if I didn't like this genre, which I do, I love this genre heartily, this is a game and a group of people that I would like to financially support and make sure that they can keep making what they want to make. And so I had that experience learning about Earthborn Games and Andrew Fisher and Andrew Navarro and all the other wonderful people working on it. And the incredible, incredible artwork in this game. I cannot empathize. I cannot overstate how absolutely gorgeous the art in this game is. They've really taken the best of the best in the business and brought them in from all sides, from design to graphic design to artwork. And it looks like a top tier product. And from what I hear so far, the gameplay is absolutely incredible. And if you love the co-op LCG format, if you love Arkham, if you love Marvel Champions, if you love Lord of the Rings, I cannot imagine this is not a game you're going to want in your collection as well. And it's one box. That's it. You don't have to chase down packs. And they have the next, you know, campaign, I believe, is coming to not Kickstarter, but maybe GameFound. I think they're using GameFound. Is coming in January. So this is a great time to be getting to Earthborn Rangers. You're going to have this wonderful first new core box experience. And then beyond that, more and more campaigns, more and more player cards are going to be coming. And the more we support this company, the longer they will make wonderful Earthborn Rangers products for us. I say that as someone who has not played the game yet, and I'm still like putting it in, like saying it's one of my favorite games ever kind of vibes. I've not played it yet. Very excited to play it though. But like I said, sometimes just hearing about a new game will make you fall in love with an entire segment of your collection that has been collecting dust for a while. And I have really enjoyed that experience. And that also feels very ecological and like-minded with the ethos of Earthborn Games, is that I have been reusing and finding new purpose and passion and love for stuff I already owned. Have not bought a bunch of new stuff. I did buy a couple new things for Arkham. and I bought the Saga expansion for Lord of the Rings. But I already had so much other stuff, and I got to reuse these things that I already owned in my collection and make good use of them. And that has been a really wonderful experience. So we are in the midst of an LCG, a co-op LCG renaissance. If that's your tipple, if that's your thing, if you have a bunch of those games collecting dust, I'm here to tell you that this is the time to get back into those games. And if you've never gotten into those games because oh my God, these games have been out for 10 years in the card pool and I'm an obsessive and how am I going to collect all of them? And there's these stupid little dumb packs spread out throughout a million game stores and I'll never find all of them. Your national nightmare is over. You can just go to Amazon. Well, maybe don't go to Amazon. Go anywhere that you buy games, support a wonderful online game shop or local friendly game store, and buy just a box of everything you need. Just a whole cycle, a whole campaign. They made it so easy. Get the revised core set if you're new to it. Get all the cards you need. You don't have to buy so many different versions of these stupid core boxes anymore. Go to Team Covenant. Get some cool custom bespoke tokens for you for your games. I really do love my Arkham boards, these Mythos boards, these cool boards that hold the player cards and your health and sanity and your resources. They have so many cool things there, but it's just a wonderful world, the co-op LCG world. And I'm really glad to be dipping my toe back into it. And if you're listening to this and you're saying, Matt, you're leaving out my favorite co-op LCG that I've never heard of, let me know. I would always love to know about more games in this genre, as clearly I love it. Hopefully you hadn't heard about Earthborn and are excited for it now. Go to Team Covenant if you're in the States. And if you're not in the States, I believe there are they have partners in different sections of the world that have retail copies available. And it's like right now, the Kickstarter fulfillment is done. I believe it's still fulfilling a little bit in Australia, but the rest of the world is done. This is your chance to buy them. If you're listening to this in a couple weeks and you missed it or whatnot, the next GameFound campaign will happen, which is also going to be obviously a reprint of everything already released. So a great time to get into it there. Again, I'm proselytizing for a game that I have not played. So take that all with a grain of salt, but I'm super into it. I've really enjoyed the people behind it. I recommend you check out their podcast and their YouTube channel, learn more about them. Earthborn Games, I think, is one to keep an eye on for the years to come. And I'm really proud of Fantasy Flight Games for finding a much better way to get their wonderful games like Arkham, Marvel, and Lord of the Rings out to people in a much easier and stomachable for the environment way. It's just an awesome time to get into co-op LCGs. That's all I got for this week, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. We have our big 200th episode extravaganza coming next week. I believe it's going to be all four main hosts, myself, Ben, Tom, Trey, going to be coming at you with a special 200th episode of Game Brain. I can't believe we made it this far. I hope everybody had a lovely Thanksgiving. I look forward to hearing about all of your gaming stories on our Discord, or if you're on Facebook or things like that, share your stories with us, reach out. You can always reach us at contact@gamebrainpod.com. That's it, everybody. Take care. Peace.
Solo mode is the solo mode. You're all alone in solo mode. And you miss your group or you had some kids, but you bought some games. Why did you buy those games? It's the solo mode. It's the solo mode. And you're all alone in the solo mode. And your group is gone or you had some kids, but you bought those games. Why did you buy those games? Sorry.